Welcome to Mayan Calendar Cast. I'm Andy Mack.
And I'm Jag Daddy.
Today is episode number 18 of Mayan Calendar Cast. And the date is 6 Manik.
6 deer.
Yeah. So, the meaning of Manik, it is the archetype of accomplishment, doing, following instinct, manifesting and producing substance in the world, the healer, the organizer. So today may be a good day to clean out your closet. It's all about fruition and completion. Maybe even more than cleaning out your closet. How about the relationships, healing relationships with people? Because the key meaning of Manik is fellowship and family versus freedom and independence. And the tone 6 frequency, it's calming and steady, it's balancing and growth oriented, good for keeping long range projects on track. Tone 6 provides stabilizing forces for the growth of creative energy. Could be a good day to sketch out plans that include family, friends, or people close to you. Good to foster healing in relationships.
Yeah, I'll make a point today to listen more than you talk.
Which we really can't do since we're podcasting. Yeah. We could listen to each other.
We do our listening in other ways at other times when we're not doing this. Understanding is heightened today if you're willing to take advantage of the energy available.
Yeah. So there it is, your daily Zokane for today, which translated into the Gregorian calendar is January 14th, 2006. So today we're going to, we had all kinds of plans for the show today, earlier this week, and then in the past couple of days, sitting down and just talking about all these things, the breakthrough celebration. We're going to bring you lots of announcements a little later in the show. But right now, we're going to just start with a conversation that is kind of a ongoing conversation from this morning, where we're talking about what consciousness and becoming co-creators could possibly mean. Because in this process of talking about it, it's easy to see how this information just go, whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah, we have, these are almost buzzwords. Consciousness.
Right. Especially
is
now.
Is a buzzword. And co-creator, being a co-creator, it's a buzzword. It's so, become so overused.
Right.
In many venues, many schools of thought. And so I think that people have meanings that are, you know, wide and varied. So, you know, when you hear something like, you know, take the word train, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone, well, I know what that is. Whenever you hear a word that you identify with, it just kind of just slips right past unnoticed. And when you have a definition attached, there are very specific things that I think are being lost in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Through our use of words, and in particular, the reason we're bringing this up right now with the meaning of what this time science of the Maya is all about, the word consciousness and the word co-creator are instrumental. You know, the understanding of those words and what they mean is instrumental in gaining benefit from the meaning of all this, what this time science of the Maya is all about.
Right, gaining understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So what we're going to do is, Jag and I are going to have a conversation, and you can just listen in.
You get to eavesdrop.
So you're going to eavesdrop on our conversation for today's show. Jag, you know there's a conversation that's been going on between myself and a listener,
mm-hmm.
whose name I will not divulge on the air. I'll just leave it anonymous. And
why not? We're not mentioning.
Should I just go ahead and say?
Yeah, well, drag him in here.
All right. Why not? Well, it's Ross, and this conversation...
Hey, Ross. Yeah, we want to thank you wholeheartedly for your post and your questions and how you've represented your thoughts, because basically what you have contributed to is opening, you know, a whole can of worms here, in a sense,
right,
because it's helped us to look at the way that people think and view certain concepts having to do with spirituality,
yeah,
and how confusing these things can be, how people can think they understand something and be completely, confused.
Well, also,
but they think they understand.
But it also helps, I think it helps us in communicating now that people have begun, all this feedback is coming in. And we're not just looking for feedback that, I know I am not just looking for feedback that says, oh, aren't you great? We love your podcast. I'm looking for questions.
Because we do get comments that people tell us that what they don't like.
That's exactly.
And
that's okay too.
Yeah. And so, you know, we look at it and take it in and
sure,
consider it and, you know, adjust things accordingly or not.
Yeah. In
but,
fact,
but
Tim,
what I want to, I just need to say this, okay, so that I don't offend anyone. People learn things. They invest a lot of themselves emotionally. Many of these things become beliefs. And then they they get settled into the
routine,
psychic fiber of the person.
Okay.
And okay, they just operate on the principle.
Yes.
Because they believe that they think truly, consider that they understand something.
Right.
Wholly, completely, deeply. It becomes embedded in them, and then they just function. This is a foundation principle. Boom. They lay it down like a brick and build on it.
Yeah.
Well, to give an example, how things can become, clear as mud for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Thinking that they're seeing clearly is, you know, 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know that. It's a very simple, basic, fundamental mathematic operation.
Yeah.
Well, 12 + 1 = 13.
Yeah.
Right? You have the number 13, and then you have the concept of 12 + 1 = 13. Are mm-hmm. they the same?
No.
No, they're not.
Right.
They're not. Fundamentally, they are two completely diametrically opposed principles in a level of speaking, because 12 + 1 = 13 is not the same as 13. 12 + 1 = comes from a dualistic way of being, perceiving,
mm-hmm.
functioning, and operating, where the whole number 13 is not fragmented.
Right.
It is almost a magical number of creation in how it functions and operates, and yet the two are considered to be equal.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Right.
13 permeates all of creation. 12 + 1 does not.
Right.
It's separated out.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, yeah, Jesus and his disciples, that's 12 + 1
mm-hmm.
equals 13.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Right.
Equal 13.
That's right.
It's 12
it's
plus
12
1.
Plus 1. 2. And put in two different places. 12 is here, and 1 is over here.
Yeah.
Not yet.
There is no other.
The principle, though, is there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the principle is there. But until one goes from two-dimensional thinking to multidimensional thinking, they wouldn't see it.
Right.
Make sense?
So do you think we clarified anything here, or did we just make it?
Well, possibly, but that's, you know, that's the whole point. Let's come at this from different perspectives. We were talking about, you know, understanding, and that's really what we're driving at. And you can say something. You just talked about truth, you know, and a lot of people think there is a truth, a single truth somewhere that everybody sees, but that really is not true. Truth by definition is what is true to you.
Yeah.
Okay? So I can have what is true to me, a truth, and that not be truth for you. Right?
Right. It's a point of view.
Right.
Which we all know that everyone has their own point of view.
Right.
Which is different from everyone else's point of view. It's not really possible right now for us all to see something the same way.
But it's becoming. That's where we're heading.
Right.
So we're talking about consciousness, and we're talking about the growth of consciousness in this spiral, or what Coleman calls a stepwise process. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's circular, but not circular on one level. It's moving all the time upward. Okay? So in the process of looking at the calendrical system of the Maya, and how this system, again, looking at it through the eyes of science and spirit, that what the Maya discovered, or what they had encoded through whatever process into their calendar, was that this process explains why things evolve. And that this process of evolution is determined by a very strict time plan. That is becoming kind of a problem, especially for people more steeped in the New Age mm-hmm. thinking. Because in that thinking, harking back to what you said a few minutes ago about getting an idea rooted in their fibers of their psyche, and or fibers of the psyche, and making that a brick, a foundational cornerstone, building on top of that, to say that linear time could in any way end, no, that's not possible. Things don't end, they just transform. Okay, so this creates a roadblock of understanding.
And for people who aren't able to see any way around perceiving life in the world or their reality in the fashion of a time as being linear, mm-hmm. Then to end that means it's the end. There is no more.
Right.
There's no continuation.
Doom. It's doom. It's destruction. It's fearful. It's frightening. So why don't we start with the conversation with Ross for a minute. Talk about these questions. Ross makes the point that in the beginning of our conversation, we were talking about this calendrical system, and he says, can't people just understand pollution, overpopulation, killing is bad, and sustainability is key to longevity? Does this need a consciousness shift, or isn't it just common sense? My reply was, perhaps common sense isn't so common.
Or, you know, everyone would just get that
right.
automatically.
Exactly.
But see, that's the problem. Where we are, where we're coming from, you know, in this process of evolution.
That the Mayan calendar explains.
Shows us that that's why we are here, where we are right now, with
right.
all of this waste and destruction and pollution.
Right.
Is because people don't see. They're blinded by energies.
Dualistic.
Dualistic thinking.
Yeah.
The mindset that linear time, perceiving time as physical objects moving through space.
Right.
Like our Gregorian calendar orients us mm-hmm. Into is what produces separation from the one, from the whole, from each other, and allows us to separate ourselves from the earth. We think in medicine, they think the mind is separate from the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they treat people, that
right.
the mind is separate from the
well,
body. You go to a mind doctor or you go to a body doctor.
Well,
you know,
it's common to treat the body without taking in the mind, without taking
right.
into
it's
account.
It's not an holistic approach
right.
to a human being, you know, their wholeness, their wellness. So we have separated ourselves from the earth. We feel like that we are superior to the earth, that we can just plunder and dig and burn and plow or
right.
whatever, clear cut and pollute. And it's, you know, it's like no
it's
big
okay.
deal. We don't realize that what we are doing is the harm we're doing to the earth and to each other we are actually doing to ourselves.
Let me toss a point in here. You said physical objects moving through space. That, too, can kind of just whew, go right over your head. What does linear time mean? What does it mean to follow a linear time pattern? And a thought just occurred to me to toss in here, which is it is a mindset rooted and grounded in materialist thinking,
right.
which says there is no
beginning, no end,
and there is no connection between spirit and matter.
Right. It is an endless repetition of cycles with no beginning and no end.
That's right. Everything's just going to go on and on and
right.
on.
Right. And it reinforces a reality that the physical is primary to
the
spirit.
And in that mindset, in that case, the spirit then, there is no opportunity for growth. There's no opportunity to evolve spiritually.
Well, it gets subjugated to the physical.
Exactly.
The physical becomes more important.
Right.
Everything functions by the physical processes.
Right.
You know, the fashion of this, of linear time means going out and earning money to
mm-hmm.
pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
So you can send those checks out on time, pay your taxes on time, pay your rent on time,
mm-hmm.
your truck payment and house payment. Physical orients our reality, roots our reality in this world, in this life, because of this separation
mm-hmm.
that linear time has created in us.
Yes.
And we don't even see it.
Right. But there's this other thing happening too. Because of it, there's a separation between physical or material and spirit, matter and spirit.
Right.
Now look at how religion, quote unquote, has begun to function. And when I say begun, I'm talking back to, you know, when it first came in and then organized and settled. How does religion look at spirituality? If you were just talking about paying your bills, you know, paying your house note, paying your car note, keeping these physical things going. Well, spirit is over here on the other end of the spectrum, as if it has nothing to do with any of this, and none of that has anything to do with spirit.
Right.
Like spirit, so people are walking around so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, or so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. That's an old saying, you know, but that kind of factors in too. It gets so separated. Spirit's over here completely ignoring science, completely ignoring any of this that actually supports and proves the existence of the invisible. And vice versa. So what we're getting to experience, I think, right now in this galactic underworld is through this process of stepwise evolution is this joining of what's been separated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Ross's question...
It's beginning to wind back together.
Right. Ross's question leads toward a very interesting thing to talk about. He says... Does this mean, because of my reply, which said back to him about common sense maybe not being so common, that he was saying, does this mean that history is fate and that the calendar is saying everything's already nailed down and we have no choices, and that choice and free will is essentially futile in the face of this oncoming deadline? That the Mayan calendar ends, so there's this deadline, consciousness is deadlining, evolution is deadlining, and we have no free will and no choice because consciousness is evolving at its rate, and therefore we're just here for the ride, and that's it. Okay, this brings us back to what you and I were about to talk about earlier,
mm-hmm.
and I said, please let's record this.
Yeah.
So let's go right there. To talk about this point. you started with the National Underworld.
Right.
Which is when the long count or great cycle
began.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 years ago.
Okay, so let's start there.
From now, 5,000 years back, there's a beginning of the national cycle or the great cycle, which mm-hmm. is the last 13 baktuns.
Right. That's what the great cycle comprises.
Right. It's the last... It's the final phase of this evolutionary process of this
toward culmination.
Time science, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And 5,000 years ago was when writing began. Writing came on the scene.
In Sumeria. Mm-hmm.
And also the construction of this world's very, you know, first very large monuments, the pyramids.
Pyramids in Egypt.
The advent of the first nations.
Mm-hmm. That's when King Minos joined Upper and Lower Egypt. And it became Egypt.
Right. And so we had a first nation, first writing, first monuments. And also we had the fall at the same time.
Right. In the Bible, this is the time period that talks about when Adam and Eve fell from grace.
They were expelled from the garden.
Right. So we hear...
That's one of the creation myths or stories or allegories. Mm-hmm.
That supports the 7 days and six nights of
creation. Parallels this truth of this cycle that we are going through
mm-hmm.
Even still today. We're kind of down at the other end of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fall, I mean, what could that mean? When, you know, humans were living in a state of being that is called paradise, mm-hmm. and they fell from paradise.
Okay, so let's go over that.
Yeah, what is...
The preceding underworlds from a national underworld is... Which underworld is that?
The fifth, I believe.
It's fifth underworld? Grab the blue spine book. It should be right there. If it's not, it's behind you. That's my book of notes. It's behind you, Jag. Right there. National Underworld. Previous to that underworld, in the 9 underworlds and 13 heavens that are in the MCC video podcasts, 4 through 7 explains those. If you haven't seen them, go take a look. Right there. Sixth. National Underworld is the sixth underworld. So the preceding 5 underworlds, which are not part of the Great Cycle.
Right.
Those underworlds were in order called Cellular Cycle, Mammalian Cycle, Familial Cycle, Tribal Cycle, Cultural Cycle. Humanoids, or Homo sapien, came on the scene in the tribal cycle. It began 2 million years ago. And it's in that cycle when humans came on the scene. Not in the form we're in now, but humans nonetheless. And the evolutionary process that took place on that cycle, each day and each night... took 160,000 years to happen. Now, during that time, when a single day and a single night took 160,000 years, writing wasn't necessary. Things moved so slow that you talk about living in paradise. The concept of paradise might be that things aren't... What does Coleman say why writing came on the scene, why writing actually even happens, is because writing occurs for humanity at the point where things are moving so quickly they cannot be remembered and must be written down.
Can't keep up with them, yeah.
So that's why writing happened at the beginning of the national underworld. Wow, I just came up with a new word, undercycle.
Yeah, when civilization is undergoing change at such a rate that There's a need to preserve information. That's what where writing came on the scene. Things were beginning to change much more rapidly.
Right.
Which occurred, that was a Bakhtun shift.
Mm-hmm.
And that shift, the energy of that cycle change from the previous underworld to the sixth underworld or the national cycle,
mm-hmm.
brought with it a whole new influx of energy. And right at the very
beginning
of it, writing comes on the scene.
Right.
I mean,
boom.
Writing creation provided a remedy or solution.
Right.
You know, for
now, were people thinking, oh, things are moving so fast, we need to write it down? Well, they may have, in one sense, been thinking that, but they weren't. It wasn't like it was, that was the idea. Creation plops the idea into the energy that's available, and we pick up on it.
Right, yeah.
The people of that time pick up on this new energy or this new light, which was the beginning of the first Bakhtun of the great cycle, the beginning of the national underworld, sixth underworld. So that you're clear on this, the great cycle only comprises the top four underworlds the pyramid.
The pyramid of the creation process.
Yeah. The ones previous to it aren't included. So right at the beginning of the Bakhtun 1 of the Great Cycle, which is also the beginning of the National Underworld, writing comes on the scene, and the first nation and the first buildings.
All right, but also to point out what is occurring here, while we look at these as advancements in higher civilization, and that this is a form of progress.
Really the beginning of civilization.
What is transpiring here is that we shifted from a very long period of time, of existence in time, sacred time, holy time, where we lived in timelessness.
Right, right.
Our consciousness was that of timelessness.
People lived in that moment.
And then with this shift, as creation is moving forward in this stepwise fashion that you mentioned so eloquently, mm-hmm. Andy Mack, it brings about this transition from living in timelessness to shifting into a period of where suddenly we have to build monuments to make statements, imprinting among mortals the future generations.
Do you have that quote from Transformation of Consciousness? Why don't you read that?
Yeah. So the Egyptian... hang on a second here. Writing... let me back up. Okay, the invention of writing and the construction of pyramids and monuments are usually viewed as advances on humanity's path. But those phenomena also indicate that after the onset of the long count, or the great cycle, human beings were no longer able to live in the present.
Wow. Okay, and so we talked a moment ago about in the Bible, this is when Adam and Eve...
It's the fall of all of humankind.
Right.
We're no longer able to live in the present.
Right. What would that create? What would that create? First of all, the need to write. Second of all, the need to build buildings, right?
The need to create laws and
nations
and boundaries.
Yes.
That's where the first nations began, and boundaries and warfare.
And awareness of limitation.
Warfare began.
We began
to lose our oneness.
Yeah.
Our cooperative
connected
way of being.
Yeah.
And perceiving and living, and began to draw lines in the sand, and then kill people who stepped over the line.
Right.
Now
people may say, you know, I can hear in my head someone saying, well, previous to the National Underworld, different tribes fought in, you know, certainly along the way, like, for instance, in the cultural, when there was various tribes, but that's not what you're referring to.
It was an organized warfare.
Exactly. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, with armies, you know. We moved from, at the same time, it was...
With armies organized to fight for a nation.
Right.
There were no nations.
To protect or defend.
Or build
a
or
territory,
conquer.
Which is basically a line in the sand.
There were only reasons.
The people begin to claim, you know, people claim this is ours, you know.
Right, because remember the
identify
national...
Identify with their nation, mm-hmm. their... to the point that they're willing to sacrifice life for it. What?
The national underworld is when the what consciousness was producing or what was being produced changed from reasons to law.
Yeah, law began to overcome
reasons. There were reasons for things, which might mean that an action might have a consequence, but now it's law, someone else ruling on and meting out punishment. Okay, so punishment, really, Jag, in a way, is an underlying frequency of the national underworld. Through law, punishment. Right. And what was it for Adam and Eve to be tossed out of the garden? It was punishment.
Where in the previous underworld, the cultural, reasons in that time cycle, there were certainly consequences for people's actions.
Mm-hmm. Or there was outcome.
Yeah. Right. But there wasn't any enforcing body established that would come and, you know, beat them or capture them or lock them up or tie them up or, you know, hurt them or kill them for their wrong actions.
Right.
Their choices that they made. Where in the national underworld, when consciousness had shifted and was now producing this laws,
right,
this,
very different
this concept where people were creating laws, mm-hmm. then along with those laws came
and let's tuck this word
the
in
punishers
there. Man-made
man-made laws, yeah. That's a good, yeah. Then,
here you didn't have that,
and then
in the cultural.
Punishment, as you know, came along with that as well.
Okay, so we're talking about what it could possibly mean to evolve in our consciousness, to evolve to co-create with consciousness, capital C, fully. In the conversation with Ross, where he's talking about choice and free will essentially being futile, if there is indeed a plan that creation has, and that if indeed it is culminating to an ultimate point, does that mean we have no free will and that we have no choice? I don't think that it does mean that, but I also see where consciousness has a plan, a design, and that this design is bigger than we are. That is uncomfortable for some people to even consider.
Well, at the same time, what what people may or may not realize is that while this is unfolding as we progress wave cycle by wave cycle through these 13 heavens, particularly now on this underworld we're on, the galactic underworld, mm-hmm. what is occurring is consciousness is still moving, still forming, still creating, evolving, mm-hmm. We are part of that, whether we realize it or not. We can't really be separate from it.
How could we?
So as this process is occurring, we are also still evolving in our consciousness, in our thoughts,
mm-hmm.
new ways of perceiving and seeing and being come into just all of a sudden, you know, what may not have seemed like, you know, made sense before, suddenly becomes common sense.
Yeah.
So what we have is creation is still tuning us up so that we get to see more and more. It just happens.
Okay, so
kind of spontaneously, it just happens where we begin to see more clearly, think more wholly, more holistically,
mm-hmm.
more in unity, and our beingness grows without really having to do much of anything.
Right.
It's like the gift of...
Suddenly you just get it.
Of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the idea that we don't have... I don't think...
So why would that be threatening?
Well...
Like we don't have any choice.
Right. I don't think the fact that creation does have a design... The fact that creation would have a design precludes free will or choice. It would be like an analogy might be, say someone comes down the street and puts out in the middle of the street a big, 500-pound or 500-gallon. What am I trying to say? What are those big gallon things? They hold stuff.
Drum. 50 gallons.
Thank you. A 50-gallon drum in the middle of the street. Every 20 feet, and says, there is something in there, some kind of resource, and it's free to you if you want to come and get it. And everyone who lives on that street can come out, and every 20 feet, boom, 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 a 50-gallon drum full of everything they could need. All right, but people can stay in their house and not come out and get it.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
So creation is pouring out. Opening, so to speak, Coleman calls it time locks that are being opened
mm-hmm.
of consciousness. So it's being opened, but you can choose to receive it or not. It's your choice.
Right.
You can choose to see where creation is going and flow with it or not. Your choice. Right?
Well, it's more like, I don't think it really would happen. Well, let me say it this way. It's not that people see consciousness and say, no, I don't want that. It's that I think it's more like people have ideas that they have lived with and that they hold to.
Yeah.
And maybe have a very difficult time letting go of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, extremely difficult. They're not going to let go of them.
Right. At all costs. No
right.
way.
Because I was raised to think this way, or I believe this way, or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to clutch onto them for dear life because that's where their life has come through.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's how they have grown and lived their life through these principles. And some of them can be even, you know, maybe they're not lifelong ideas or ideologies. They could be fairly recent, but still they have so much value that it becomes very difficult for people to let go in order to grow.
So they're going to get beat up.
So the stream of consciousness will help you. You know, will assist by things will become more intense, more difficult.
To hold on to old ideas.
Yeah, and so we're getting this sort of nudge, this pressure begins to build to get people to the level of overwhelm to where they'll just give up.
Mm-hmm.
And once you give up, let go, give up, give in, surrender, which isn't really an act of weakness. Or contrition.
Right.
Right? It is...
It's just moving on to more light. It's just taking
it
in more light.
It is opening up to really to find out what your free will excuse me, find out what free will really is. I mean, when you think about it, the a parent, a loving parent, you know, would want you to have, or who not wants you to have, can provide everything that you could possibly ever need.
Oh yeah.
And it's all there. It's all there for you.
Yeah.
And it's offered to you, and yet, you know, not being able to see it, or for some reason not accept it.
Well,
I have to go get this on my own way.
Sometimes seeing the loving protection of a parent, like a parent would offer love, sometimes that's in the form of protection to help you. Mm-hmm. That can hurt.
Yeah.
And that's not so fun. And as a kid, that doesn't feel so good. Maybe we are really all children.
I think that's where we're going back to.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, we have come to the end of our time for this podcast, but we're not going to stop here. We're going to go ahead, keep going, and it's going to be in the next podcast. We're going to talk about this question of why did we fall from paradise in the first place? And what possible reason would there be there, since it does seem to have occurred in this forward progress of evolution?
And what do we do to climb back up into the tree of paradise?
Or maybe it's a new level of paradise that we never even knew before. Ooh, that's an idea.
Is this juice for part two?
That's juice for part two.
Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Mayan Calendar Cast. I'm Andy Mack.
And I'm Jag Daddy.
And you can find the show notes for this show at www.airstreamradio.com. Look for show number 18.
And part two will be show number 19.
Yes, it will.
To be continued, coming right up.